y'all. Hey, my name is Dr. O, and I am joined tonight by my good friend, Chad Williams. He is a videographer. He does all things with media and marketing, and also a veteran. So we're gonna really get into it. And this is, ladies, let me let you know. This is really the After Dark session. Just wait till you hear his voice. Oh my God. Keep it tight, keep it right.
I'll drink to that.
Who knows what's in my cup? Got no good coffee in here.
That's right.
So, tell us a little bit about yourself, about your, I know we know that, as I said, you're a veteran and you do videography.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit might be too much for a small space, but again, in a nutshell, glad to be alive, you know, a little bit about myself, you know, glad to connect and network with good people like yourself, you know, take in some goodness and share some as well.
So here we like to keep it real, raw, and relevant.
Let's keep it real.
So.
Oh, yeah.
You said that you're here, you're just enjoying life. Tell me a little bit about your life and some of your experiences and different things throughout life, and maybe how mental health or trauma has played a part and even transitioned you to where you are.
Certainly. You know, to kind of like summarize that pretty big question, where I'm at, of course, it's a gift. It's a real gift. You know, I've learned a lot about being able to stop and smell the roses on the journey, things that sound kind of cliche, but it really is worth it. Positive attitude, you know, honest, positive words, you know, speaking life into yourself and things along those lines. A couple tools that I picked up on the journey, and they are so real. You know, it's a really interesting world we're in. You know, it's a lot of people got a lot of questions. We're not getting honest answers because we're asking the wrong ones and talk to ourselves.
So what questions should we be asking if we're asking the wrong questions?
Oh, man, the questions that we should be asking, how can we be of service to ourselves? You know, how can we be a steward to helping ourselves and each other? We got to be on the same team.
But what I find oftentimes is that when we maybe reach a certain level of success.
Levels, okay.
And we see our counterparts, people that we've grown up with and different things of that nature, who will see that you've achieved a certain level of success and want to then come to you and ask for your help.
Okay.
And what I see a lot of times in that community is like crabs in a barrel.
It's real.
We're pulling each other down instead of lifting each other
so
up.
So true.
Part of that is because we're always looking at a person that's trying to use us. I ain't gonna be used. I ain't gonna be this. I ain't gonna be that. And what I often say is that not everybody is looking for a handout.
True.
Sometimes we're just looking for a hand up.
But how do we discern the difference, though?
Well, that is a good
question.
That's
it, you know.
Well, I would say how we discern a difference is people who are actually already doing
that's right
for themselves. So I had someone in my life who very dear, very close loved one.
Yeah.
And this person, they only called me whenever they wanted something. Mm-hmm. You know, whenever they needed something, hey, can I have some money? Didn't call them holidays, birthdays, anniversaries, none of that.
Yeah.
So that is a person who, you know, I would say oftentimes they just wanted a handout.
For sure. That's certainly the difference between use and abuse, right?
Yes, and because after all, when things end up, you know, hitting the fan.
Mm-hmm.
This person said, you know, oh, all you make it about is money, money, money. I ain't need your money to begin with. So I was then left like, well, what have I been doing all these years?
That's right.
Why have I been giving? So you've been using me all these years. And that's a difference because we haven't seen any progression.
Right.
And, you know, in this person. If I'm going to invest, don't go ghost on me.
Oh, man. Yeah, sorry to hear that. You know, and that's a real strong message and a real strong statement for those out here in the helping, in the healing arena. We certainly want to be accessible and be able to provide But then there is a threshold when we can share to the point to where people can generally become accustomed to it. They expect it to some degree, as if there's no price being paid for this help that they're being given. You know, you ask me for help. It's one thing for me to help you, but don't expect me to do it for you. You know, we help. I can do it with you, but I won't do it for you.
Absolutely.
And that's something that I've learned to look out for between the users and abusers. Now, you, look, I have skills that, you know what, I'm open to you using, but don't take me for granted. Here we are, being a black man and fully invested in mental health. You know, I think past the form of a thought, knowing many of us that are being affected in so many different ways that show up as trauma, you know, to be able to spot social anxieties, you know, from depression and things along those lines. You know, these social stigmas are really, really real. And from one brother to another, please protect your mind, protect your mental health, because we are under attack on so many different levels. And that could be a whole nother episode and some more, you know, certainly with the social stigmas that shows up as to be a sign of weakness. In a sense, I'm glad to hear and see that that's no longer the generalized norm, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But like all health and all exercises, you know, hey, on the journey of empowering yourself, please take that time to take that break, take that walk, or talk that talk, or do what you need to do, because you shake it up, you hold it all in, you're going to implode to some degree or another, and it's not worth it, my brothers. So again, being a friend and an advocate for especially all of our mental health, and not just men's mental health, because we truly do need each other.
Absolutely.
And in this balance, you know, a solid support system, you know what I mean, is just as valuable as having a therapist or a counselor or someone that you can actually talk to openly, honestly. You know, and if I was to give mental health keys and tips or things along those lines, I know I'm not here to be Mr. Unsolicited Advice Man, but this is happening in real time. Honesty.
You good.
Honesty. You have to be honest with yourself. Mm. You know, you have truths to get your halfway results. You see what I'm saying? It's about getting in there deep, those ugly places, those things that you don't want to talk about, those things in your mind.
Absolutely.
And then that space right before you're getting ready to go to sleep and it seems like it's way too deep for the human brain. That's where you really get the most work done. You know what I mean? So what I want to say is, again, you have to stay positive out here. You can't let anybody tell you that you're weak by seeking counseling or help. Or if you even remotely feel like it may be healthy or helpful to talk to someone, do it.
So let me ask you, you're talking very much so from a place of advocacy and things like
for
that.
Sure.
So I take it as you've experienced or being a therapy yourself. Can you maybe share a little bit about your therapeutic experience?
Oh man, my therapeutic experience has led me to be more insightful than most doctors. You know, I have over 10 years of mental health patient relationships, you know, to a degree. There are very few doctors that I can't actually predict of the clinical cookie cut approach, feeling wheels. It's a good start, but it's not the end all be all either. And to know that on this journey of empowering yourself when it comes to, I guess, being the biggest supporter of your own mental health,
mm-hmm.
in that sense, it truly comes with knowing that the training wheels have to come off.
Absolutely.
And you can't continue to allow, or you can't allow a therapist or a counselor to tell you how you should feel about anything. You're still learning. You're still growing through this unknowing. And know that you have to trust yourself and the training wheels have to come off. You know, there will be those days if you truly taking it in and you getting to the bones of whatever it is that you're dealing with. 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, all you have is you and God.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you need the tools the most. So this journey, certainly a journey of self-empowerment, self-love. It can sound like it's out of some corny women's novel, if you will, but it's real, you know? And this is the language that helped complement this growth, these breakthroughs. We're all coming from somewhere on this journey.
And you said a lot there. One thing that I want to point out is when you were speaking about, you know, communing with your higher power, the creator.
For sure.
You're saying when you're up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. One thing I've learned through my studies is in, you know, Chinese medicine.
Yes.
it says that there are certain times that you were, if you wake up during certain times, it connects with different parts of
your
physical body as well as your mental health. And it is known that when waking up between like, I think 3 and 6 and 4 and 6 or something like that, what it saying is that yes, and that there is something that is blocking you between you and the higher power that you should, you know, kind of focus on.
That's right.
So it's very interesting that, you know, you were in tune with that and, you know, and is able to say that. Also, as a person, you've mentioned just, you sound like you're a huge advocate for mental health.
Absolutely.
And things of that nature. So you're an Army veteran, and how long did you serve
for? 6 and some change.
You served for 6 years. Did you go in right after high school?
Right after.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. What made you maybe go into the military?
Fun fact, true story. I knew I wasn't going to college. I just knew I wasn't going to go to somebody's school and sit at a desk and listen to somebody talk at me type of, I didn't know what I wanted to go to school for, even an entertaining a thought. But I know my appetite for reality too.
Okay.
I know in my heart and I know it was in my bones, and that made the best sense out of my options, honestly. Okay. You know, I graduated from a military school.
Okay.
When I joined, while I was in there.
What military school did you graduate from?
It was the Michigan Youth Challenge Academy. Sure did.
Okay, yeah. My son, he went to Youth Challenge.
Right.
I think the military school.
I signed myself up.
Yeah, in Albany or Augusta.
Yep, I signed myself up year before my senior year. You know, life was happening and things like that, and I knew I wanted to graduate on time, and I knew I wasn't coming back to the neighborhood. I made my mind up. I'm not coming back to the same old things, the same old ways, so I had to keep going. It was in my bones.
Okay. You know,
I graduated, platoon sergeant, all that fun stuff. I graduated in charge, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Most disciplined and so forth. You know, the cadre tried to pull me into every branch of the service. I should be a Marine, of course. I should blah, 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 and all the rest of that. So I knew it was in me. It was like second nature, a lot of stuff I endured.
Yeah.
I did over 500 push-ups for my 18th birthday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was the gift I got.
Well, we share a lot of, you know, similarities, as I would think a lot of people, especially the minorities who join the military, we often join for a way to get out, something outside
of college.
I have dyslexia and dyscalculia, so I never felt that I was smart enough to go to college. And I guess similar to maybe like you, there was recruiters outside of with the Army and a Navy recruiter outside of my high school cafeteria for as long as I can remember, since like freshman year.
Yeah.
And shout out to my recruiter, Lee Bush. I don't know what rank you are now, so I don't want to mess it up. Lieutenant, corporal, something. But the story is an Army guy, and it was a Navy lieutenant or Lee Bush. He was enlisted at the time. And he was so, I mean, to my little 9th, 10th grade self, he was so fine. And I was like, if everybody in the Navy look like this, then, I mean,
of course, right there.
I went and I joined the Navy.
Okay.
The Army guy, I don't even remember what he looked like. He had nothing on.
How about
Mr.
that?
Lee Bush.
You talk about a recruiting tool, huh?
Number one recruiting tool.
How about it?
But it was also, you know, because I didn't feel smart enough to go to college, and I wanted something different for my life than what I had experienced through my parents, through my friends' parents and family and others, you know, within our community. I just wanted something different.
Speaking of mental health,
the military was that way out.
You know, in the environment we grew up in, it was really hard to tell who the enemy was. And that's kind of how I explained it to my mother. At least I'm trained for it now. At least I know to the best of my ability at that time to what an enemy looked like.
Well, and we were prepared. We know about friendly fire. Mm-hmm. We know there's racism,
for
and
sure.
discrimination, sexism, all those things.
With that being said,
still,
oh, for sure.
You know, we can sit here and say, oh, the camaraderie, the
right,
brotherhood,
right,
the
right.
this and the that and the third of the military. But yeah. it is still hugely
huge.
Segregated.
Huge. And
I was talking to someone yeah. earlier who is just recently met like an army officer
uh-huh.
you know, on Tinder or something, you know, like that. And, you know, we were talking about just faithfulness and long distance because he's, I think, stationed in Germany or something. And we began to say how I do believe that in this, at least in this moment, he is all in and he is all dedicated. Why? Because of the huge discrepancy in regards to, you know, class and color and,
yeah.
you know, in the military. There
are
very few officers of color, let alone female officers
for
of
sure.
color. And so with him, it was like, okay, well, yeah, you're going to seek out a civilian person to entertain you because unless you date outside your race, what other
right.
pickings do you have? But that also goes back to segueing back to the reason why we often join.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times it's because it is our escape from poverty, lower socioeconomic status.
Mm-hmm.
We see it as, you know, opportunity to travel, to explore the world, stability, healthcare, all these yeah. things
yeah.
that we're just looking for as an escape to get
a version of it for sure. And that's why a lot of recruiting officers are in the urban neighborhood because we more likely to take the bait. What was interesting about all that is I don't regret my decision.
Mm-hmm.
Not one bit, you know,
mm-hmm.
coming from a world where my friends were killing each other.
Absolutely.
More than enemy ever could, you know? So it's like, hey, I made the best of the lesser evils for sure. But the good news is, from all the wonderful people that I met in all kinds of interesting places, you know, I picked up on a lot of awesome jewels, got to see some really beautiful sunrises in some pretty dark environments. And it really taught me, part of our conversation was having with a young lady earlier, it's like, I could literally energetically go back and think about all the wonderful things that I experienced to trump the one or two things that can be considered negatively impactful.
You said through Trump?
What?
Did you say through Trump?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought you said Trump. I'm sorry, my bad.
That guy. But again, to say, you know, to not be negatively affected any more than I can say the energies or forces can allow me to. I've seen some really incredible things that allow me to go back to, and that's something that I tend to take with me to this day. You know, be able to stop to smell the roses even when there's all dirt around you. You know, why not? It's your choice.
All right. So we're gonna do a quick
Come on.
10 out of 10.
Let's
10 out of 10. It's like what you know I've been thinking about this whole time, who you remind me of. I just realized.
Oh shit. What you doing?
Besides the height.
All right, cool.
Your voice, and you smell, remind me of T.I. You heard it before?
I have.
Yeah, see?
And I don't know where they got it from either, but that's, you know, that's your
now, where are you originally from?
I'm from Michigan.
Okay, well, that's not my theory or whatever. I don't know, but T.I. and I'm from Michigan.
Yeah.
But you have, if I was to close my eyes and listen to you and listen to T.I., you can do a voiceover like for T.I. Yeah, that's that.
I take it.
All right, 10 out of 10. Well, first of all, how tall are you?
6 feet.
So he's much taller than T.I.
Much.
6 feet, single.
Uh-huh.
39, great career, All right, ladies, you know Dr. O at the dock. We always trying to hook everybody up. Do I need to do my Vanna White? Do you see this nice bald head and handsome, sexy voice going on? We're gonna do our 10 out of 10. Let's get to it. All right, 10 for 10. 10 questions.
Okay, so what's what was this? It's a 1 through 10? That's what I'm doing?
Yeah, I'm gonna give you 10 questions and the answer. All right.
Come on.
Good or bad?
Good or bad.
What is your earliest childhood memory?
Man, earliest childhood memory to date was riding a bike. I taught myself how to ride a bike.
You taught yourself how to ride a bike? How old were you?
I was 5.
Okay.
Yep, 5, about to be 6. My grandfather's driveway, the training wheels was loose, so I turned them up, and I just remember coasting down the driveway and pedaling till I fell in the yard.
Where were your parents or guardians, or who we would often think are to teach someone to chain to ride a bike?
Let me be a boy. They were being adults. I was being a child. That was in the last days of a child stays in a child's place. You go outside. We'd be seen and not heard. You remember them days?
I remember them days, and those days are called trauma. Developmental trauma. A lot of that. Did you realize that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of that is, you know, because it contributes to then what our core beliefs are.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say anything. Mm-hmm. I need to be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on what's going on, it can equal to I'm unlovable, I'm unlikable, I'm inadequate, and all these different things. So now as you grow up and into adults.
With a double shot of I got this, I don't need any help.
Baby,
all that.
Let me tell you.
You know, all that goes.
And that's why he's single, lady. So when we talk about the pros and the cons, all this 6 foot deep voice, bald head.
I'm not waiting on y'all to do my laundry, cook for me.
But he's been a therapy, so you know he understands. So he understands. All right, number 2.
Come on.
What's your greatest fear?
I had to think about that one. I'll come back tomorrow and tell you about that. I don't know. I don't even think along those times.
Tomorrow?
Yeah. My greatest fear? I don't know, man. That's a real tough one.
Yeah?
That's a real tough question. My greatest fear? Man, I think trusting the wrong people.
Ooh.
For real. Trusting all of, again, you know, because I love hard, trust whole. I don't do halfway very well. And if I trust you, if I'm confiding in you, then me, you know, without the reciprocity to wash it down, yeah.
When's your birthday?
Ooh, y'all not ready.
We're not ready. When's your birthday? Either that's scaring me or that's endearing me. When's your birthday?
I'm November, baby.
That's scaring me.
No, yeah, you should be afraid.
Are you Sagittarius?
If you're scared, go ahead and be scared. I'm Scorpio.
Okay. I'm October. Okay, so yeah. I like Scorpios.
Like I say, you scared,
ladies,
you probably should be.
Scorpios, come back for a reading and all that. You know, we can come back and do a tarot reading and all that kind of great stuff. But Scorpios are very good, loving, sensual. Almost just as good as us Libras. They're kind of on the cups, but they're not that good.
I'll let you have it. Your show, you the best, absolutely.
But you better stop. You better stop. You better stop. All right, number 3. What is your greatest accomplishment, Chad?
My greatest accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
To date, oh man, I piss excellence. It's hard to say what
you
my greatest.
You piss excellence.
Shout out to Ricky Brown.
I've never heard that before.
My greatest accomplishment.
I piss excellence.
I don't know. Loaded question. That's a loaded question. I think my greatest accomplishment is being that friend that I never had. You know what I mean? Being that solid comrade. You know, when most people fold, I'm the last one there when the wind start blowing. I think that's my greatest accomplishment to date, you know, being unbreakable in that respect. For real.
I don't want to snatch you up, I mean?
That's what you can't snatch me. That's
the
point.
What's wrong with you? What's wrong? Gotta be something.
Let me tell you what's wrong. Because I'm unsnatchable. You know, I ain't distracted by makeup. I ain't misled by superficialities. You know, you can't just blow bubbles and chew bubble gum and, you know, flirt and all the rest of that surface fellow stuff. I'm a man of substance. And that's why I ain't snatched up, because this land of superficialities don't move me. Nobody ever came me for real.
Well, since we on that, go ahead and shoot your shot. What you looking for?
Oh, man.
If anything.
I ain't looking. I know it when I see it, though.
You know what I'm saying? You see it.
Yeah.
So no superficial.
You know, yeah. You,
all of this.
You, Miss Lady. When I meet you, you gonna know that we're supposed to roll.
Uh-huh.
There's not even any question. We don't have to. Oh man, what am I thinking? Like, how would I know how much a woman is into me if I distracted her with what I could buy her? You know what I'm saying? Or if I was to fill her head up with how nice she looks.
So let me ask you this, and
you
this is off
saying?
The top. If this is off the question, I'm gonna put these down for now.
Let's do it.
But we talk about there's a lot that's been going on. You know, there was Kevin Samuels who died,
shout out to Kevin.
Who was doing all of this. Yeah, shout
come
out
on, Kevin.
To Kevin who was doing all this and saying all these things. What I like to say, there is Kendra G. who does like a singles matchmaking on social media platforms. I say she's kind of like similar to the female Kevin Samuels. With that being said, and with your, I guess, views, how do you feel that kind of pays a part? Do you feel like you have traditional standard roles of the woman and femininity and vulnerable and homemaker and the man is ugh. But it also sounds like what I would hear oftentimes that both Kevin Samuels and Kendra G will talk about is this quality man who's making a certain amount of money and who's this and who's that and how he would not want to have this certain type of partner.
Yeah,
now, when
yeah,
I look at you and when we
all,
talk, I would think that you were one of those quality men. It's something I would describe you as.
Respect me.
And
you.
So, therefore, looking at that and based on what you just said, would you, in a woman, would that, are you looking at career aspirations and that she makes a certain amount of money or that she's accomplished a certain amount of things in life, or is it, you know, more about the physicality or care?
Everything. All the above. All the above. So, I'll give you a general example. So, money don't necessarily move. We can make some money or something. You know what I mean? That's cool. I know a lot of wealthy people that's basically really, really hurtful people too. You know what I'm saying? I know a lot of people with money that's basically on some bullshit.
Okay.
And I'm gonna say it just like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they really think that their money defines them. You know what I mean? So certainly when it comes to morals, it feels a 1, 2, 3, moral integrity, mental stability, then we could get into the aesthetic, physical stuff. You know what I'm saying? It's an inside job with me, for real. So I would say, taken from Mr. Kevin, you know, I wasn't a diehard follower. I barely watched TV. I don't know what all was going on, but you know, you hear feedback on how he basically, you know, putting things into perspective from a man's perspective, which I'm thankful that he did. And I'm glad he ruffled the feathers that he did, because it's time somebody heard it from a man's mind, you know.
Oh, and I agree with you.
To say like gender roles and things like that. I could have some traditional outlooks, but also understanding that everything is everybody's role. I ain't the type of man that'll let us have a sink full of dishes because I feel like that's something for the missus.
Yeah.
That's not cool. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If it's a mess to be cleaned up, let's take care of business.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Long overdue.
It was some people who would come on his show that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So society standards.
Let's talk about standards. I'm glad you said
everybody
the double standards, the double triple standards are real.
That maybe they're not physically attractive or they're not on this spectrum, and then they will come in and they will want all this hierarchy of,
oh yeah,
you know, of stuff. And he would come in, he'd be like, yeah, no, you average looking, you overweight, you this, you that, you blah, blah, blah. And they would get offended. And I'm like,
yeah.
A lot of times that is just what reality, you know, is. Most males or people, you know, in general, we're looking at the physical, the physique, if you have yourself together and how you look, how you take care of yourself, and then the mental and everything else, you know, comes after that. But if you want a man of a certain caliber,
for sure,
or you want a partner of a certain caliber,
so we talk calibers. It's like, you know, I guess we could go in weaponry or something like that. It's like you can't shoot a round out of a barrel that's not equipped to withstand it. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So if you, being that you are a woman of high moral caliber character and things along those lines, that certainly would make you that much, as you are, make you that much more compatible with a man who can meet you on that level, regardless of how financially, whatever he may sound or seem, no matter how attractive he may sound or seem, whatever, but if his heart ain't right and his mind ain't no good, the rest of it is
exactly. If
we're
on that level, then it doesn't matter how much you can make, $250,000 a year, but you can still be beating my ass.
But I know that's where, I know this is where they make those other avenues, I would say, a liability. Like, you know, having my money, right, and I'm around somebody that's broke, they can bring their broke ass habits, broke ass attitude, and we're not going to be wealthy very long.
All that.
You know what I mean?
You got to elevate. You got to be with people that's, you know, as they say, equally yoked.
Yeah.
When it's like, get on my level. And so many people get offended by those things. Now, I'm not looking down on anyone. I know where I am and where I came from and different things of that nature. But I know with me, oftentimes, it's just a matter of, hey, I'm about to catch a flight this weekend and go on over there. I want somebody to catch a flight with me. Can you, you know, come out and do that? If you can't, then great. I understand. We need to save up for our vacation with you, but sometimes I want to hang out with those who can on that, you know, on that level. And I think that's the same thing with even being with that partner. I can't express how the importance of being equally yoked. So I was raised as a Christian, and it was something that was consistently said, oh, you gotta be equally, you gotta be equally. And I didn't understand what exactly that meant outside of religion and Christianity.
Right.
And then when, you know, I got together with my husband and my partner and things like that, and he's Muslim, and we were able to make that work within the two religions and different things of that nature. But other things outside of that, realizing that equally yoked is more than just that. There's something, maybe we're not equally yoked financially or with child rearing and, you know, and different things like that, based on what our core beliefs are and our
core
values,
values
that have been instilled in us as a child.
Equally yoked, unequally yoked, or whatever you want to look at it. I see the things like respect and integrity and all that seems to be a glue that keeps it all together. We could be beautifully imbalanced as we need to be, but as long as we respect each other, we could make something happen. You know what I mean? So, I mean, anything outside of that, it's hard to even consider what a discussion can sound like. What type of bond are we forging in that type of space? You know what I mean? To kind of chime off of that, how you feel about these apples that don't fall far from the trees? Is that something that actually stands out to you in this therapy realm? You know,
A lot of times it does. Yeah. You know, it really does. Because when we talk about was, and this is a whole, we'll have to continue this on another time.
So it is another time.
Because this is a whole another topic. It's what is called epigenetics.
Yes.
And what epigenetics is the trauma and the things that's trapped in our body that is passed mm-hmm. down through generations to generations. So why are we still triggered by slavery? All the time they're saying, well, get over it.
Right.
I wasn't the one that did X, Y, and Z to you or to your grandparents or to this or to that. But no, it's passed down through our DNA mm-hmm. and through our genes that we're still triggered by slavery, by the civil rights movement, mm-hmm. all the things that have happened generations to generations. So that's when the apple doesn't fall far from the tree because we're still carrying that trauma.
I can see it.
And we're passing it on.
Man.
But we don't have to.
We really don't. We really don't. Because I can literally think of an active example. I know a woman. I call her that because I'm a man of integrity and we're on camera. And I met her mother. And I was like, oh. Then I met her grandmother. Then it was like, ooh.
You can see it. You can see
it. And it was like, you know, the reason why I went down that road is, yet again, when it comes to trauma and mental health, we have this way of making excuses, I've noticed it. Well, you just like your Uncle Carl. And all the rest of that type of stuff like that. Yeah, we're using this language of being generationally cursed. I hope we stop claiming that like yesterday. You know what I mean? Let's let that whole ideology go. You're not generationally cursed. You're probably generationally confused, if anything. Because ain't nobody curse you. You know what I mean? If you want to use that as an excuse, that's your prerogative. But this is a no-fly zone. Everybody grown. Ain't nobody generationally cursed. You've been generationally misled. You know, these bad habits are certainly trickling on.
Speak on it.
For real, you know, and we have the opportunity and the power to stop it. And it all starts with you. And regardless of what you want to do, you can't blame nobody else because it's your life and these are your choices. So, you know what, your grandmama used to talk to your mama like that, and that's why your mama talked to you like that. Don't think you finna talk that way to me. You say, because that's just how y'all be. That's not what we're doing.
So somewhere there, we gotta stop that. The thing is, when we come to therapy, is because it's not a problem until it's a problem.
Oh, yeah,
I don't recognize that it's a problem. You know, that's
like
just
that,
how it is.
That's just, I do that all the time. Does that make it healthy? Is it necessary?
You ever seen a meme on Facebook that's like, MFQT, and everybody's like laughing, oh yeah, I know what that means. And it is like, if you don't eat, it says something like, if you were raised in a black home, you would know what this means, da, 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 da. And then it's like, if you don't get your black in this house before the street lights come on, I'm gonna whoop you. It is like, and we all know, and we all have camaraderie around it and can laugh, but at the same time, that's trauma. So when we talk about the definition of trauma, what's the definition of trauma? Is death a great bodily harm to yourself or someone close to you?
Yeah.
So when I tell you, go get that switch, and I'm about to whoop you, and I'm 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, I'm about to die. That's death or great bodily harm. So that is traumatic to me. Therefore, I'm frozen in that area, in that age, and in that space. And depending on what I was disciplined for, which a lot of times, it was things that we probably didn't need to be physically disciplined for.
Right.
It needed to be things that needed to be processed. I spilled a glass of milk. Oh, go over there. You just get on my nerves. Clean this mess up. Go get a switch. Clean it.
Yeah.
And so then it instills in us core beliefs about I'm not good enough. I'm unlovable. Mm-hmm. I'm inadequate. I can never do anything right. I'm a failure.
Yeah.
I'm ugly. I'm overweight. And then those things begin to perpetuate and perpetuate and perpetuate throughout our lives.
That's
none of us want to believe that. So we begin to fill the void with everybody else who can prove that different.
Uh-huh.
And all of these are people that have the red flags that we see, but we dismiss these red flags. because he said he loved me.
Right.
Yes, he's beating my ass every, you know,
certainly
Monday through Thursday.
Yeah.
But Friday, Saturday, Sunday, oh, right. He took me out. Oh, we loving. Oh, he beautiful. So he must love me.
Yeah, it's not uncommon, especially for us men, to literally be baited into arguments for attention. You know what I mean? As far as part of a trauma response.
Absolutely.
It goes easily overlooked to where there are women out here, of course, some men too. We tend to not feel like we are acknowledged or heard unless we're screaming or about to set it off. Somebody, if we're not fighting, we don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we get this stuff from? We got it from beyond our presence. You see what I'm saying? We were trained this way. We picked it up on the journey. You know, and the more we come in tune with ourselves, the faster we can be a helpful hand for each other and ourselves. We got to be a helpful yourself first to recognize that just because we're not arguing doesn't mean we're boring. We're being healthy. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
We're actually being nurturing. It may show up as uncommon.
Okay.
It is okay.
To be angry, you know? And
yeah.
To feel all the emotions
for sure.
That we feel. The matter of it is your actions.
Absolutely.
Behind that, your behavior behind that.
Big time.
When I'm angry, what am I going to do? Am I going to knock you upside your head? Am
right.
I going to get all up in your face and be like and curse you out?
Eventually.
Or,
hell yeah, you keep on.
Not if you have the correct skills. We hope no, not.
My point
because
is,
that's going to come, what is that going to do?
True.
That's going to lead you to getting back up in my
and
face and
we're
going to be having that conflict.
And that what happens when the bait's taken and you get the trauma response that you're seeking when you
absolutely.
Go pick and pick and pick till somebody snaps and like, oh my God, what's wrong? Everything's bad. Now we got something else to fix and we can keep the trauma cycle going.
I mean, what is the
that's
saying?
Playing into it.
What's the saying?
Which one?
Hurt people,
definitely. Oh, yeah.
So when we
big
see
time.
Trauma.
Oh, yeah. We got to fix
trauma
it.
Trauma is attracted to trauma.
Oh, we got to heal it. Oh, yeah, let's work on
we
it.
We do got to heal it, but trauma is attracted to trauma.
At least that's something to understand about each other.
That's it. I'm going to go where it's comfortable and where I feel safe.
How about that?
I don't care what it is. He just as crazy as me. And we gonna get through this
let
together.
That
and no, we not.
No, ain't. You're gonna dig an invisible hole deeper and deeper.
That's
hey, man,
it.
But this is fun, really insightful, you know, and certainly to chime in on so many different levels of these personality traits and, you know, trauma responses. And it's an endless array of them at this wave. I mean, by the time we get done with social media and flipping through these TV channels, we're all nuts.
Absolutely.
I think some of we all crazy. So before you get to pointing fingers out there in this world, talk about ain't nothing wrong with me. I don't need therapy.
As they say,
you're probably hooked to Instagram. Don't even know it.
At them,
hello.
Three more.
Yeah,
four more,
you got to watch
right
how you jump
at
everybody
yourself.
That you calling crazy. Or is that person sick, that individual, something? Oh, hey, hello, hey, take a good look in that mirror before you get too carried away. It is real. It is real. You know,
yeah, just take care of yourself
take
and take care,
care
of others.
I love it.
And when you need that additional assistance,
yeah.
What are you going to do?
Call you.
call Dr. O. 404-900-9583. Dr. Olivia West.com. Come and see.
The only number I need
me.
To know.
That's all.
How about that? We were halfway through his top 10, though.
We were halfway through the top 10.
We got to come back some other time. I love to be invited back because I think we got way more ground to cover.
Y'all, just stay tuned because he done left me. I can't even look at him with these little tie eyes, this beautiful smile, and this little bald head and this. Oh, and see my husband calling. See, that's how I know. See,
we ain't cutting up on your
God be
blessings.
This is bye bye boogie. All of the this is the kids one for all the boogie monsters.
You're right. Lavender.
Yes. He just acts like he just sucked that right in lavender.
Cultured. Yeah. No things about some things, but I really appreciate you. your questions that you're asking, for sure. You know, it's a lot of different ways to ask these things, but certainly you know what you're doing. You know, and again, I'm glad to participate. Looking forward to being invited back because it's barely the beginning.
All right, so tell us, thank you so much, Chad. Tell us where we can find you at.
I'm everywhere all the time. Well, you want to hit me online? At RealGood247 on IG. That's how you catch up with me most of the time. You see what I'm saying?
Real good.
247 all day long.
247. Is there any underscores?
No days off.
Y'all, real good.
It's good.
Ladies. Yeah. 24/7.
Every day.
Real good. Real good. 24/7. Now, my sister, she's single, so go ahead and shout out to my sister, Charisma West. She's single, she likes T.I., and I think her voice kind of sounds. Yeah, so let me go ahead.
Okay.
Real good. Come on, real good.
What'd you talk?
Real.
Tell my sister, what's her name? What's my girlfriend's name? Charisma?
Yeah, Charisma.
All right, Charisma, call me. You call me. I call you.
What are you real good at? Never mind. All right, y'all, this is Dr. O at the Doc. We will have you on again. We're gonna talk all about what's real good about real good 24/7.
Yeah, we definitely covered a lot of ground, but we ain't really get nowhere where we could. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Spending so much time in this episode, and again, thank you for inviting me.
Thank you so much.
You know, bringing up some of the stuff to surface, though, because again,
absolutely, because we all, and I'm glad that you were here, because you all, in all honesty, we all need that healing.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And it is such a beautiful thing to see Black African-American men on and talking about mental health, because it's such a huge stigmatization in the community around mental health, especially with, you know, our brothers. And we want to see you guys more and more. And so not only check out my website at droliviawest.com, but please also note there are a lot of resources out there for you. One that stands out is Black Men of Color. Black Men of Color, .com, or Therapy for Black Men. Therapyforblackmen.com is a great, great, great resource. Otherwise, give us a call and we can recommend you to other therapists that might be a great fit for you at 404-900-9583.
I want to share this message from my brother's story real quick, though.
Please do.
Man, my brothers, I'm here to tell you, we can't stress enough, if you even remotely begin to think or feel like it would help for you to talk to somebody, I strongly encourage you to do it, and I'm gonna raise you one. I know everybody's on different levels of the channel, so what I wanna say is, if you want somebody to go with you, I'd be glad to go, you know what I mean? Let's just make it make sense, especially for my comrades out there who I already know. You got a direct line of communication, let's not put hesitation on the situation. Call me and we'll go together. You got a friend for real. You know what I mean? You got nothing to be embarrassed about, nothing to be ashamed of. And don't let these people trick you out your sanity and your livelihood, have you thinking you're being stronger than what you need to be over stuff that probably ain't even your doing. You know what I mean? So hey, it's time to stand up straight with each other and for each other and really support each other. Healthy support systems is a requirement too. You know, it shows up as optional, but it's really a requirement, and I got your back for real. I know what it's like to be out here by yourself and not being sure where to turn, knowing that you are going to be misunderstood. You get what I'm saying? Don't let that discourage you from speaking your truth and standing your ground. You know, you got this. We got this, for sure.
Yes, and thank you so much. Chad has also donated 10 free sessions for the next 10 men who reach out to us at DrOliviaWest.com or at 404-900-9583 for the next 10 men. Chad has covered your first initial intake session, with me or with someone at our facility here at Out of the Box.
Please take that offer serious, because I might need to use a couple myself to keep up with this wild world. So, you know, meet me here, don't leave me here.
And thank you so much, Chad, for your generosity and for being here. I can't wait to have you back, because we still got at least like, what, 8 more questions.
At least we barely got the 2 had me cutting up, so I can't imagine what the rest of them about to be. I'm full.
Y'all gotta stay tuned, because y'all see how we get down, how we like the vibe here. And he said he'd like it.
Thank you for having me, for sure.